Blog Talk Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Shining light.
Oh God. Guide me on the straight path.
Eternal fire.
The path of those upon whom thou hast eternal faith.
Euphoria music.
Take me away.
Not of those upon whom.
Take me away.
Thy wrath is brought down.
Take me away.
Nor of those who go astray.
Take me away.
Euphoria music.
Shining light.
From reeling, falling, shielding from the world and the pain dwelling in it. Wound that it never healing, calling, stealing my soul and releasing the demon in hell from within my veins. Fire breathing, wise and seething, deep inside compels me to make a change. Take away the rain, shine a light on the path that'll lead me up and out of the abyss. Shine a light on the path of the righteous, the path of forgiveness. Tell it all to make sense, cause I'm blind to the way that'll lead me right. If you're giving me the vision, let it be tonight. I'm in need of sight, this food world only feeds despite. But Lord, I don't wanna need to fight, don't wanna bleed the light. From my enemy, giving energy to the devil, trying to give me this land. It's the devil within the movement. To be jealous of men, or for the trigger, seek better revenge. We all need Betty to spend, but Eddie like Betty, so Eddie trying to get him a bench. Three strikes and a cell in the pen with no friends in the end. Who am I to tell him where to begin? I ain't no better than him. Trapped in the cold of the darkness, shadow moving through the night. In the belly of the beast, I'ma struggle for release. So at least if I lose, I put up a fight. Feed me knowledge like food, I'ma take a bite. Hope it's helping me to choose what's wrong or right. Death finds us all, a friend waiting for the final call. But when it finds me, it finds me right. Lord, shine the light. Clearly, please hear me in the prayers that I'm sending in the world that I'm living in, trying to take me out, but no, DMS not giving in. Many men fall to the feminine demons that freeze them, slow them up like Ritalin, feed my adrenaline, filling them up to the rim with the strength of 20 men. I want to live again, but the pain is too much to take, too many breaks from the same mistake. I gotta change my fate, but if my shoulders can take the weight, these hard times only make me great. The world is filled with poison, snakes and jakes begging me to take the bait. It's high stakes, so I break the bank. These wild legend devils break my face. I gotta shake the face to give my energy to the remedy and a fear that be clouding my mind. Through the passage of time, a hard grind, the perfection of rhyme. Return mistakes, start raping the wine. The passion ain't hard to find, but passion needs action and action needs honor to shine. Plus integrity, wisdom, desires, more fuel for the fire. For the choice of the life of the blind, so now I'm drawing a line. Focus on the path that's ahead of me, doing what I gotta do. Take me away from the self-doubt and the self-pity that is in me. And I know that I can make it through, cause I believe if they can get it, I can get it too. And I know if I can dream it, I can make it true. You shine a light and show me to have faith in me. Then I gotta have faith in you, shine a light for truth.
And in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, who came to us in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, and in the name of his messenger that he raised up from among us, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and in the name of the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, who is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, and guide, it is in their name that I greet all of you in the listening audience and those of you who have joined us excuse me, by chat, and those of you who have joined me on the panel in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum
salam, man.
Walaikum as-salam.
Thank you, family. Thank you. And it is so wonderful to have all of you here with me this evening. And excuse me, I'm losing my voice because I talk too much. But I want to welcome all of you to our new show called The Trumpet. And The Trumpet is bringing good news. So the name of this show is Ain't That Good News. And I have several people on the line with me tonight, and I'm going to allow them to come front and center and introduce themselves. And the first person I want to introduce is my beloved brother Eric X. Sullivan, who so wonderfully and graciously donated his song that you just heard to this show. So, Assalamu alaikum, brother Eric, front and center soldier. Introduce yourself.
Wa alaikum assalam, sister Gidda. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad to the black people of North America, South America, and the world, and raised that one from among us, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to be our divine messenger and exalted Christ. I greet everybody in the greeting words of peace of Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum
salam.
Yeah, that song means a lot to me. I was going through a lot of things at the time when I wrote it, and I was actually in a cell on my way to prison when I wrote that. And I was looking for a light at that time. So my inspiration was Minister Farrakhan, because he shined the light for me in that time. You know, I came back to my understanding. That's when I started getting back into Islam and my understanding of it. But I'm going to leave that short. And I'm dedicating that song to Minister Farrakhan, so if anybody knows that, you know.
Praise this due to Allah.
Yes, Sister Gidget, please use that song as you see fit. It's definitely donated for you.
Yes, sir, and thank you, Brother Eric. And you know, I just want to you know, tell you that like many brothers who have been incarcerated, and whether they find Islam inside of prison or outside of prison, I can tell you that you and I have been Facebook friends for over a year now, and I have seen your growth and development not only in Islam but just in your artistry, because not only does Brother Eric rap, which was, you know, a lot of people come to you and say, I'm a rapper, and I'd be like, okay, you know, all right. But Brother Eric is also a writer, and he has been writing,
yes, ma'am.
Is it a like a fictional book or something of, along
yes,
that
yes.
nature, or fantasy? But it's, it, I mean, he has impeccable skills and impeccable talent, and so I want to encourage you, Brother Eric, to stick to your personal truth, and that's your talent and your God-given ability. And we have so many brothers who come out of prison and they become discouraged because of all of the things that are against them when they come out. But this is what
yes, ma'am.
We call tapping into your natural resources. And this brother has been blessed with many gifts and many talents. And we thank you, dear brother, for sharing them with us. And I want to encourage you to keep up the good work, because if you don't, you know, I put my foot on your neck, right? You got that right.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sister. I understand. I would not want to cause you to do anything rash to me, okay?
It's all love.
That's right.
It's all love. Thank you, Brother Eric, for the song, and thank you for just being a diamond amongst the FOI. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, sister. You guys have a wonderful show,
okay.
And thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. Now, do you have to go back to work, or you going to hang out?
Well, I'm supposed to be going to work at the barbershop here shortly, so... But I wanted to get on and introduce my song and let everybody know what was going on and interact a little bit before I headed out.
Okay, so now when are you going to put the song out for public distribution?
Well, that's not going to happen for a little while. Really, you're the only person who's getting a copy of any of my music until the CD is done. We're being really secretive about it because of the ideas and concepts involved. I don't want stolen and picked up. So we're being a little bit hush-hush about it. We're trying to make it big news and talk about it and blow it up, but we're not giving out too many snippets for people to hear at this point. We have a lot going on. I'm a part of NBLA Entertainment.
Uh-huh.
And we're working to get my album done, and everybody will know when it's time. I'll make sure everyone knows exactly what's going on when the time is right, especially you, so you'll be broadcasting it, I'll know.
Yes, sir. And I will keep it in the vault of Queen Entertainment, which is my entertainment entity, and don't nobody get in that vault but me. So I got you.
Okay, sister, yes. Thank you very much.
All right, Brother Eric.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome, beloved. Thank you, Brother Eric. Okay, now we have a pair of sisters with us, and one of them is my dear beloved sister, Tisha Muhammad, out of Muhammad Mosque, number 48, Dallas, Texas. And the other sister, she's my dear sister, too. I don't know her that well, and she vowed to be quiet this evening, but we know on this show that it's not going to happen. So since she's so reluctant, let's make her feel welcome. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Suzette. Come down front and center, mighty, mighty MTT, and introduce yourself to us.
Assalamu alaikum.
Come on, sis. Wa alaikum salam.
I'm Sister Suzette Muhammad. I'm a member of Mosque Number 48 as well, and I've been a member of the Nation of Islam for about 20 years, and we started the co-op about nine or 10 years ago, and Tisha will tell you more about it, but we do it to, you know, help our community as well as to help the believers.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Well, sister, thank you for coming on. And, you know, we have a rule on this show. You can come on here one time, but you can't just come on here one time. So you are always welcome, and we hope to have you back with us, not just this time. But I'm going to now present Sister Tisha Muhammad, and many of you may know her on Facebook as Tisha and Kenneth, which is her better half, but only part A is on here today. So, Sister Tisha, Assalamu alaikum, Queen, come down front and center and present yourself.
Yes, ma'am. Wa alaikum salam, everyone. I'm Sister Tisha Muhammad from Dallas, ma'am. I've been in the nation about 20 years as well. And like Sister Suzette said, I'm the other half of the Mini Farmers Market Buying Club. And we started this about 9-10 years ago, and it's to help our community, so we want to be able to share what we do a little further tonight with everyone.
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, this is like a new show. We always have shows on Sunday, but this is something that I wanted to do because I spent the last month or so just kind of pulling up news reports and just seeing what was going on in the communities around the country because I don't watch television. And so I much needed to catch up on the news. And every time I would pull up something about us, it was so, so negative. And, you know, I was just so downtrodden, for a lack of a better expression, about the news that was, you know, being reported in our communities. But that's not the only thing that goes on in our communities. And so I wanted to do a show that really focuses on the good news and the accomplishments in our community, because I think when you watch too much negativity, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, you are what you eat. And so as we absorb that negativity, you know, it kind of stays with us. And then subconsciously we project that out into the world from our own persona. So we have to be very, very careful about what we're observing, what we're partaking in, and what we accept as our news, just like our history has not truly been told to us. And we cannot depend on someone else to do that. So if we have to go and search and find our good news, then that's what I'm committed to do, and I'm committed to reporting it to the best way, that, best of my ability. Now, I'm going to let Sister Tisha talk about the co-op program, and for those of you who may be joining us for the first time, if you have questions, you're calling by phone, press 1 on your dial pad, and we'll take your question or your comment. And those of you in the chat room, y'all already know what to do, since y'all already asking me questions. So continue to type your questions in. Okay, Sister Tisha, the co-op started about 9 years ago in the mosque, and tell me what has been the experience since that time.
It started about 9 years ago with myself and a few other sisters just pooling our resources, trying to find a way to be able to feed our families on our limited incomes that we had, feed them more fruits and vegetables, because in our community the grocery stores don't have the best of fruits and vegetables for us to choose from. And so we had to figure out how to do it. So we would go to the farmer's market and buy in bulk and share amongst ourselves. Well, then we found out that we could buy actually from the vendors and get a bigger amount. But what you were able to get was too much for just our few little families. So we had the idea to go ahead and let's expand this and invite more believers to participate. And the more of us that participated, the more we could get, and the more it would help our families. So that's how it started. And we went on like that for a few years, and we started maybe with about 8 families or so, and we did it consistently. At first it was weekly, but, you know, with 8 families, it was a limited amount of things that we could buy. Still a blessing to our family, but it was limited. So we wanted to reach out more, not only to the believers, but also to the community. As the years went on, me and Sister Suzette have worked it, and have been consistent with it. And at times, numbers dropped off, but then at other times, more people came on. And so at this point, 9 years later, we have a big community participation, which is really a blessing. We're up to consistently about 25 families biweekly that we're able to help with this service. And what we do is everyone puts in $25, a $25 participation fee, and then we pool all the money together, and Suzette and I go out. We start at like 7 in the morning every other Saturday, and we go and we purchase food in bulk for all the participants. And we go, and it's just us two, and we load up a van, and we've already, during the week, I've already made calls to the different vendors and seeing who has what and what's the best deal. And we go out and we shop. Suzette's already contacted the participants. We send invoices. You know, it's a work in progress all week. I just want everybody to know we're working this. And then on Saturday we get out early and we go and we shop. We fill up her van, and then we come back and we break down all the food. All that we bought, we break it down evenly into crates for all the participants. And so for a $25 participation fee, you get roughly about $50 to $60 worth of vegetables, enough to sustain your family for a week, maybe two, depending how you're able to stretch it. And in doing that, by pooling our resources, we're able to, you know, help. We're able to help people's families, but we're able to also provide charity to some families who are unable to even afford that $25. So consistently or weekly, there's about 4 families that we're able to just donate a box to because others have come together and pooled their resources. So we're being a blessing to ourselves, we're being a blessing to others, and the people who are participating are being a blessing to each other. It's just beautiful all around. And what we're finding is that it's a way that we were able to bring healthier food choices to our community. They don't have to go out and shop mm-hmm. for it. We bring it to them. All we ask is that you participate. Pool your resources. And Allah's just been blessing us over and over and over, and it's growing and growing and growing. We've learned so much, and it's so fulfilling to us to be able to do it. It's
yes,
not for money.
All praise is just to Allah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. It's a lot of work. We do it from like 7 in the morning. We're usually finished
wow.
every Saturday about 2 in the afternoon. But all those hours we work it, it's not, we don't make any money off of it. It wasn't that we were trying to become rich off of this or build a business. And maybe one day it will get to that point. But it was a desire to help our people, to help our community, to do something for our community. And that's what we do. That's what feeds us. And it feeds our soul. It makes me sing. It makes me happy. It makes me happy. I look forward to it every other Saturday. Suzette knows by the time she comes out to the car to meet me, I already done took about 8 selfies of
yeah.
me getting ready. She'd be sick of me, but, you know. That's what I
and
do.
Yes, and you share them with us on Facebook.
Yes, I do.
Every other week or so, I see them.
Yes.
And, Sister Tisha, I want to talk to you about, you know, because these are fruits and vegetables. And so
yes, ma'am.
By there being fruits and vegetables, I want to talk to you about the importance of the consumption of fruits and vegetables, because our diets in the black community, not necessarily Muslims, but just our people in the black community, we have a high fat, you know, high sugar, high starch diet, which all of these things lead to high cholesterol, high blood pressure, you know, sugar
mm-hmm.
diabetes, or diabetes mellitus, whatever it is. What
mm-hmm.
is the importance of consuming those fruits and vegetables?
Well, we know that our health is tied to what we eat. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of times, you know, the monies that we have, the amount of money, everybody doesn't have government assistance. So a lot of times if money is hard for us in our community, we buy the cheaper foods. And the cheaper foods are not the best, the most healthiest foods for us. But we don't realize that it's not that hard to eat healthy, you know, and it's not that expensive to eat healthy if you make better choices. If you make better choices, and sometimes it's that we just don't know what choices to make. Part of it is in our community.
Mm-hmm.
They don't offer us the choices to make. You can't really go to our corner supermarket and buy a butternut squash or eggplant that is not wilted, you know, or raggedy. I personally
mm-hmm.
didn't know what to do with an eggplant until Sister Suzette taught me. So she might be the one really why she's hiding to talk on the health benefits of it. Because she has introduced me to a lot of stuff. Like, who wouldn't touch a beet is me. Until Sister Suzette made us. And that's one of the favorite things in our co-op now. But we had to include different recipes. We include tips. You know, we have to educate our people. This co-op not only serves, you know, to bring the food to them, but we try to educate as well. Because we're used to, in our community,
uh-huh.
eating potatoes and corn and green beans and thinking that's it. But Sister Suzette's not going to let that happen. She hasn't let that happen. And so when new people come on, we try to give recipes and explain the health benefits. But, Sister Suzette, if you would stop hiding and tell them why you make me eat beets, please. Ma'am.
Well, it's healthier to eat the rainbow, as they say, because if you eat
yes.
a variety of vegetables in your diet, it helps your body to absorb those nutrients that it needs. And so when you include all of those kind of colorful things in the co-op, it encourages people to go ahead and try it and to try and cook them. And they call and they say, you know, how do I do this? I ain't never seen this plant before. What is it? You know, so,
mm-hmm.
you know, it keeps me on my toes on purchasing a different variety. Because like she said, you know, not everybody grew up eating beets. Not everybody grew up eating butternut squash. You know, most people in our community have never seen a kiwi. You know, so these vegetables,
uh-huh.
especially the mangoes, the tropical fruits, introducing them into our diets help with your, you know, your health, you know, your overall
uh-huh.
health. And
when you're eating the rainbow, you're eating a variety of vegetables, those are the things that your body really requires. The meat-based diet is not it. Everybody
right.
loves meat, and that's the cheapest food. You know, it's easier to go in and buy a pound of ground beef than it is to, you know, step a few, you know, away from that counter and walk over there and buy some vegetables and steam some vegetables. But your family, the families have really, really loved the variety of vegetables. A lot of them had never eaten spaghetti squash. You know, so
mm-hmm.
when we put it in the co-op, of course, I got a lot of calls about it. What is this?
Yes.
How do I cook it? And what does it taste like? But,
mm-hmm.
you know, those things is what, you know, what we need to introduce to our people because they've never had that experience, you know. And I'm just a, you know, vegetable lover. So I love
yes.
the going to shop for the vegetables and, hey, let's get some of this. And Tisha will look at me and go, I don't know, but we'll get it anyway, you know, and it usually goes over pretty well. So we, you know,
yes,
we have a
ma'am.
Lot of fun in doing it, but we also are bringing a lot of different variety to the community that the community would never choose for themselves.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. And, you know, it's important because when we look at our economy, you know, it is difficult just to go to the grocery store. So not only does this program save you money, but it also saves your health so that you will not spend what money you do have on medical costs and, you know, prescription drugs and things of that nature, because we're coming to a point now economically where we're going to have to maintain ourselves to the best of our ability because we're not going to be able to afford health care. You know, and even if you have insurance, you know, just the out-of-pocket costs and, you know, medications are very expensive. And so the old folks used to say an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So if we start to consume those foods that are antioxidants, that are natural antibiotics, we can save our lives and we can save a lot of money because, as we know, money is being scarce and is scarce now. And I want Sister Tisha to share with the listening audience what you shared with me about the availability of some vegetables when you went shopping. So, you know, and out of all the things that the minister has told us, you were able to actually bear witness to that. Can you share that with our audience, Sister Tisha?
Oh, yes, ma'am. We know that the minister has told us that it's tight and it's going to get tighter and famine is coming. And we can see it, but a lot of us and our people are still asleep. We're not moving fast like we need to be moving. I went to the grocery store. Well, we shop in bulk. And we have been seeing on a consistent basis that the food prices, even at the vendors, are doubling and sometimes tripling. And just, for example, this past few months or so, onions, you know, have went from like 39 cents a pound to like $1.09 a pound. It's crazy. And so I asked one of the vendors, you know, what's going on? Why are the prices of onions so high? They were so high that we really couldn't include it in our co-op for a few weeks because, it, you know, it was just taking too much of a portion for the co-op. And she said, due to all of the winter storms and the floods and what have you, the crops everywhere were destroyed and nobody can get their hands on them. That's what she said. Nobody can get their hands on onions. And I said, what we see in the store, they're sprouting already or they got the skins falling all off them. They're dry and they're old. And she said, what you see in the store is all that's left. And she said, we're trying, but there just isn't any. The weather has destroyed all the crops. She said the weather, but we know what did it. And so when I went to the store
mm-hmm.
myself, because I had to buy an onion, and I'm telling you, when I just bought one, I just bought one. Because that one onion cost me $1.09 for one onion. And then I had to get a tomato, and one tomato cost me 59 cents. So in our co-op box yesterday, because we bought in bulk and everybody pooled their resources, you got 8 onions in your bag. And you got 10 tomatoes. So you see how the savings come when you buy in bulk and you pool your resources.
Ma'am.
But people don't realize because you're able to run to Walmart right now and still buy an onion or two if you need it. You're not really paying attention. But I need for everybody that if you're not a part of a buying club in your community, you may want to consider joining onto one or at least starting one in your community because it's getting tighter all the way around. You might be that person where your paycheck, you're not worried about it yet because you're still comfortable with your paycheck. You can go buy an onion for $1.09. But maybe the elderly couple neighbor that lives next door on a fixed income, they can't. And it's more than just an onion for them. It's a lot of elderly people who can't even afford, you know, groceries. So it's coming. Mm. It's getting tight. And I just seen it. And to hear it from the vendor, that wasn't the first time. During the summertime, if y'all haven't noticed, last year it was hard to get bananas. And that's because there was a bunch of rainstorms over in Costa Rica. They told us the same thing. Nobody can get up there on the mountains to get the bananas down because of the mudslides. So who's going to see where you're going to see the shortage? You're going to pay for it in the store. But we're so comfortable over here, we're not worried yet. We need mm-hmm. to get in the habit of pooling our resources, stretching our dollar, and doing something for ourselves, whether that's growing our own little garden or supporting black farmers or what have you. But we need to take advantage of these food buying clubs.
Yes, ma'am, and that's two very important points that you brought up because, you know, vegetables are not hard to grow. And based right. on your family size, you know, no one is asking you to plant an acre of vegetables. But if you have
right.
a family of three or four or whatever, you can easily plant vegetables on your back porch or in your yard somewhere, have a garden like, you know, grandma used to have back in the day. And if
yep.
you go into the market now and see how much it costs, then the seeds
yep.
to plant are significantly less, like 90% less than you going in buying them from the store. And so how can, not only is it money saving, but how convenient is that? To be able to walk
mm-hmm.
in your backyard and say, I'm going to go get a tomato, I'm going to go pick an onion or whatever to prepare a meal for a day. You know, that's very
yeah.
important because we need to get back to agriculture. No one is asking anyone to be a farmer if you're not really into
right.
that, but at least be able to grow the essential vegetables that you use on a regular basis in your own backyard, because I don't think it's really hit yet, Sister Tisha, because we are
right.
so used to being able to go into the store and pick up a tomato and pick up some lettuce or, you know, or whatever. But then, you know, irregardless of the cost, when the item is
yep.
no longer available,
yes,
because we're coming to that time when the cupboards are going to be bare, so to speak.
Yes.
And so what are we going to do? And then another thing I wanted to bring up about fruits and vegetables is that, you know, we've all heard about GMOs and meat
right.
and things of that nature. But there may come a time where you might not have any meat.
Right.
And there's a conditioning that you need to, you know, kind of get ready to prepare yourself for when you may have to be a vegetarian against your will.
Yes.
Because you might only have access to those foods that you're growing in your backyard. And so it's very important to stockpile and learn to grow the simple things. If you eat onions and bell pepper and tomatoes and lettuce and broccoli and cauliflower and eggplant and squash, if you know that's what you eat, then that's what you need to start growing and at least grow
yes.
enough to maintain your family. Okay, Sister Tisha, I want to ask you also, do you have our Sister Suzette? No, I'm gonna leave you alone, Sister Tisha. I'm going to talk to Sister Suzette.
Oh,
Sister Suzette,
yes.
I want you to tell us, not necessarily the nutritional facts, but, you know, sometimes people, they crave variety. So since Sister Tisha bought up the eggplant, and I'm going to admit it, I have never eaten eggplant in my life. I have never even touched one because I don't want to eat nothing that purple. So, but tell us, Just go ahead and tell us what meals can you make with eggplant, and first tell me, what does eggplant even taste like? What does it compare to?
It's its own unique flavor.
Okay, okay.
It tastes like chicken. No.
It's an acquired taste. Like lamb. Okay, I got you.
But it's a squash. It's in the squash family, but it is very high in protein. Okay, so therefore you eat an eggplant, and you can have eggplant parmesan, so you can fry it, you know, because we like the fried. But you could saute it and serve it over rice. It's very delicious that way. You can just serve it. You can make eggplant sandwiches. You know, take and slice the eggplant, saute it, and then put it on a sandwich with your, you know, lettuce, tomato, cheese, whatever you, you know, garnish your sandwiches with. So it's a very versatile vegetable, and it's a very hearty vegetable.
Mhm. Okay, I believe you. I mean, I'm just being honest. I've never tried it, and I know I had. I made for the first time lasagna using zucchini because, you know, I'm a vegan now. And so that was delicious, using zucchini and squash. And I had my own little thing in there. I had, like, my cloves of garlic and pearl onions. Girl, that was so good.
Yep.
But, you know, I think what other recipes can we come up with vegetables?
Yeah, you can do everything that you do with meat, you can do with vegetables. Vegetable lasagnas are wonderful. And you just layer your vegetables like you would the egg noodle or the noodle, but you just layer your vegetables, and you use your creams and your cheeses and all of that, and it's absolutely delicious. The children love it. I'm a baking provider as well, so I do a lot of things to, you know, to entice the children to eat more vegetables. So, you know, just putting on their plate fresh sautéed vegetables, they're not going to eat them. But when you add your little sauces and things like that to the vegetables, it makes them more appetizing for the children. So, you know, we do that with the adults as well because, you know, we don't want to see them, but we'll eat them if we can't see them. So you can add them into your recipes that way, you know, and then incorporate them into your meals. But we need to eat more vegetables.
Okay, so can we get you and Sister Tisha to share a recipe on Facebook?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Suzette would love to do that.
Sorry.
Okay.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know what?
Okay, yes,
she's
ma'am.
Absolutely right. She's right about with the children. It's hard when you go from, if your children were meat eaters and then all of a sudden you just try to jump over and make them veggie eaters. All vegetarians, because I didn't realize that I came home one time with the bright idea saying, okay, we're going to be vegetarian from now on. And I heard my children maybe a few days later saying, what are we having for dinner? Vegetables on top of vegetables with more vegetables? And I was like, wait a minute. You little ugly. So I had to start hiding it, you know, hiding it in things until they got used to the taste and kind of, you know, slowly backing out. But I had to, like Sister Suzette was saying, you have to get creative and still use your sauces and your things. And one sister told me you can't just steam your green beans every day, every time you steam them, and then expect the children to jump up and down for them, because they didn't. They was like, I don't want no more steamed green beans. So you just, everything you can make with meat, you can make with a vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to, you know, kick it up a notch, and it's really good. And now they don't even pick through their stuff looking for the vegetables. They just know. They just know it's in there somewhere, and they enjoy it. They're not hesitant to try anything anymore like they used to, like they used to be.
Yeah, because, you know, I make this green bean casserole that, you know, it kind of resembles broccoli, cheese, and rice. But I make it with the herbal rice and the green beans, and then I use like 4 or 5 cheeses and the onions and the bell peppers and the carrots. You bake it for about 30 minutes. That's the best food you ever had,
exactly.
In my opinion. Okay, we're going to take some questions from the chat room, but let me remind the listening audience, if anyone has questions for Sister Tisha, Sister Suzette, press 1 on your dial pad, and then we're going to talk to Sister Tisha's son, Oni, who is graduating from high school this year, right?
No, he graduated last year at 17. Mm-hmm.
Oh, he graduated. Yep, he graduated from last year, yep. but now we're gonna find out what Oni is doing a year later after high school.
That's
so
that's
if you have a question, press 1 on your dial pad, and then we have a question from Diane. She wants to know what kind of vegetables are available.
Okay. Oh, ready? Is that for me? Is she?
Yes.
Is that for me or Suzette? You want to?
What vegetables are available? All vegetables are available. Right now in the co-op, our staples are broccoli, cauliflower, carrots, cabbage, because that's what the community, you know, is so used to having. But we add in all types of vegetables. So 1 week you might get beets, and next week you might get asparagus, and next week you might get butternut squash. So, it varies that way, but we don't have, like, a set thing that, okay, you're going to have this or you're going to have that, but we try and include, like, lettuce, things that you can make a full meal with, you know, your cabbage, your cauliflower, your broccoli, things like that.
Mm-hmm. We have every week,
okay.
Like she said, every week in the co-op, we try to at least have the common vegetables that people are used to and the common fruits. So you're gonna have a cabbage and broccoli or a cauliflower, and then you'll have bananas, oranges, and apples. Those are the main fruits. You're going to have onions. You're going to have jalapenos because I like jalapenos, so everybody gets that. And then lettuce and tomato. And then from there, we add on. Like she said, we try to make a variety after that with the different squashes, spinach, kiwi, grapes, strawberries, what have you. Yesterday, let me see, what was yesterday's co-op? Suzette, they had two kinds of lettuce. We had two kinds of lettuce. We had Roma tomatoes. We had broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, onions. Beets. We did have beets. Oh, she loved beets. We had bananas, oranges, apples. You had your jalapenos. What else was there? I'm trying to think while I was putting everything. Oh, you had carrots.
Eggplant.
You had eggplant.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All of that. And everything that you get, like you got 8 bananas, you got 4 apples, you got 7 oranges, a whole head of cabbage. Some we try to substitute out for families. If we know your family just truly won't eat eggplant, we won't give you that because it's going to go to waste. If you've already said we've tried it, we just don't like it, we're not going to eat those plantains, then we'll give you an extra cauliflower or something and give somebody else your eggplant because we try not to waste. But usually what they get about 8 vegetables, right?
Yes.
And at least 4 fruits for $25.
And that is so not bad, even for me, because I think I'm along with this next person, Simon. Simon wants to know out of the chat room, what is the best way to store and bag your fruits and vegetables? Because I could take that deal, and if I know how to freeze them correctly, it could save me a lot of money. So what
Absolutely.
Is the best way to store and bag your fruits and vegetables?
Okay, when you're dealing with your harder vegetables, then they can go down in the lowest part of your refrigerator, and they'll keep. Your broccoli needs to be bagged, and you can just bag them in a sack grocery bag. You don't have to go out and buy no fancy, bags at whatever kind of store. But, you can just bag them in the regular grocery bag and put them into the refrigerator on one of your shelves in the refrigerator,
mm-hmm.
not in the drawers. Like your lettuces, if you put a wet napkin in there, and you put it in just a regular grocery sack bag, and you put those in the refrigerator, it'll keep longer because
mm-hmm.
it'll stay crispier. And then when if it starts to wilt, just give it a cold bath and just wash it into some cold water and cut it up, and it's ready for your salad. It'll perk up. What other vegetables?
Wow,
Hard vegetables like your beets, your potatoes, your onions, they can be kept on the door because they don't have to be as cold. But you want to keep them refrigerated or they'll start to sprout on you if they stay warm. I think that just about covers a few things anyway, but your squashes and things, they can go in that top drawer in your refrigerator. You know, your carrots and things can go on the bottom because that's a harder vegetable. Your cabbage, cauliflower can go on that bottom shelf because it can keep cold. It doesn't matter if it gets a little too cold because that drawer is really mainly for your meats because it wants to be kept really, really cold. But if you, you know, vegetarian, that's where those cold, those vegetables can go. And they stay a lot fresher, a lot longer.
Mm-hmm. Also, when you have, when you store your bananas, when you store your bananas, don't store them by your other fruits because they give off some little chemical or something. They start, the other fruits will turn them faster. You'll get the little black spots on them, your bananas.
Mm-hmm.
So you keep them away from everything else.
Your banana gives off of potassium. It gives off that like a little radiation. And when it does that, it does, it helps to ripen other fruits. So if you don't want your fruit to ripen real fast, don't sit it by your bananas. Sit your bananas away from all the other fruits and always display your bananas like in a nice open area so that they can ripen at an even rate. Because if you sit them in a little dark corner, they'll either turn brown fast or they'll be green and turn brown instead of turning yellow. So if you've got them in an area space where it can get some good air circulating around them and not direct sunlight but some sunlight, then they'll ripen going from green, because we usually buy them kind of green so that they can last. But it'll go from green to yellow to your speckled, which is what everybody likes to eat them at.
That is correct.
Okay.
And then if your vegetables start, if they start to wilt a little bit, if you're taking a, you know, it's getting towards the end of the week, you can always cut them up and use them in a stir fry and saute them, things like that. A lot of your fruit, if you don't eat all your, like when we have strawberries or blueberries and things like that, if you don't, if you're not a person who just sit there and eat blueberries every day, you know, wash them and put them in the freezer. And then as needed, you can take them down and put them in a smoothie, mango slices in a smoothie, strawberries in a smoothie. Your bananas, when they start to get spots on them, some people won't eat them with spots on them. Ashley, my daughter, like the bananas, just bad. But you can peel it and put it in the freezer. Later on, take them out. There's smoothies, that's banana bread. It's all kind of things. You don't have to waste anything. You can chop up your onions and freeze them.
When you chop up your fruits and vegetables, you can also use them, you know, saute them up and use them as your topping for your pancakes or waffles. And, you know, that way you don't have to go out and buy all those syrups and all of that kind of stuff because you can use the fruit and the children love it.
And what about, like, for instance, when, like, all the people who live, like, in Detroit and in Chicago and, you know, people even down in Atlanta who had these snowstorms that had them incapacitated for a long time. And, you know, we just never know, well, we know, but you never know how long the bad weather is going to last. And so let's say that if you wanted to stockpile some vegetables, what is the best way to freeze them? Like if you know you're not going to cook everything that week and say there's a bad storm coming and you don't know how long it's going to last, or you want to buy at least maybe 2, even 3 weeks worth of vegetables, what is the best way to store them in that situation?
You can blanch them, which is just to quickly put them in some hot water and then put them into freezer bags. I chop them up and do your blanching and put them in the freezer bags, and it's just like buying frozen fruit but without the chemical.
Yes.
So you just lay them, and if you lay everything flat so that it can freeze, not just in a clump, but, you know, lay it flat, then you just got it like they do with the frozen vegetables, and you just pull them out of your freezer bags and you can eat them that way. And everything freezes really well except for, like, the squashes. Now, the squashes, they kind of get kind of soft when you freeze them. So the only thing that I can say with those is if you do the squashes, you probably want to cook that first during your hyenas.
Okay. And we have a question from Zora. She says, where can we get real navy beans?
Real navy beans. The only place I know is from our farm. So you can go to your local mosque and, get in on the bulk food purchasing program that they have, because I know our farms are growing navy beans. But other than that, we get ours from the store if we don't get it from our farm. I don't know what she means by real navy beans, but.
Well, they were saying, I think Dr. Eileen did a study saying that, the navy beans are not really navy beans as they were, the ones that we get in the store. And certainly the ones that we get in a can are more of a northern bean than the original navy bean. So, I think that's why she's asking, because I know Dr. Eileen did do a study on that as well. And Nisi wants to know, are the foods organic?
Some of them that we purchase are organic, and some of them are not. If we're able to get organic foods, then we will. But if it's not available, we get what's available at that time and what our money is able to purchase.
Uh-huh. Okay. And so, Sister Tisha, you're in the – I know Mosque 48 is in Dallas, but I know you're close to, like, Lancaster, Fort Worth, Arlington is up that way. And let's just say that if you have people in surrounding areas that wanted to participate in the co-op, how would they be able to participate?
Oh, everyone is welcome to participate. We have a Facebook page, the Mini Farmers Market Buying Club. It has a Facebook page. And all you have to do is just inbox us your email address, and we will send you an invoice via our PayPal link. And you just pay your $25. You'll have the address and the phone number of where to pick up your co-op, and then you can come by on Saturday at 2 o'clock and pick up your box if you choose to participate for that week. So everybody's welcome.
Mm-hmm. And if you can, you can not only just buy a box for you and your family, but you can also buy extra to maybe donate to a family or to an elderly person as well. And so now the people who may be traveling from outside of Dallas, right in those immediate areas, where do you meet at Mosque 48 for them to obtain them?
No, we actually, the pickup location is at Sister Suzette's house. That is where we go and we break down and do everything. Everything's at Sister Suzette's house, and the boxes need to be picked up by 2 o'clock on that Saturday, the day of, when we actually prepare them. And it's because these are perishable items. We need you to come pick up your things so you can refrigerate them and put them away. We actually have some people who do participate. They come from out of town. Like when they're in the area and they know that we're going to do it, they go ahead and purchase a box. And they're here to pick up their things, and they take it back home with them. Mm-hmm.
We have
people who participate.
We have people that live as far as Forney that participate in the co-op. So it's not just a matter of location. People who live as far as Forney think that this is a great thing to do, and they can help another family, because usually they get two or three and take it back with them so that they have to share.
We have a participant who lives in a community. I think it's not assisted living, but a retirement community.
Yes.
And they purchase more than one box, and they share amongst their neighbors. It is really a lot of food, and there's some participants who say, that's just way too much food for my family. But how can it be just way too much food for your family? It may be for your family, but there's always someone that there's a need for that you can share with. And then when we remind people of that, they have no problem participating, because that's what they do. They share it. And the people they share with are also thankful. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and we really have to get in that mindset, Sister Tisha and Sister Suzette, of looking out for one another, because we know that there are going to be some difficult days ahead, and we need to get in the mindset and prepare. And I, you know, Sister Tisha, I've been watching you for a long time, and and I say, you know, this sister is really doing her thing with these fruits and vegetables, and I just thought it was awesome. And the food looks so good. If you haven't seen the pictures on Facebook, go to Sister Tisha's page because they all over there. And then, of course, you can go to the mini. Is it the Mini Farmers Club? What is
market.
It?
Mini Farmers
mini
Market.
Mini Farmers Market.
Club.
MFM. You can go on there and see how. Yes, but they look so good, and they and you know, they're so fresh looking and wholesome looking. You know, it's not like the dead stuff that you sometimes find in the store. So, Sister Tisha, I just say original salute to you, and Sister Suzette, thank you for doing positive and good work in our community. You know, I pray that we have inspired other mosques around the nation to also participate. And, you know, we waste $25 on so much other stuff, either getting our nails done or whatever. You know, we can take a break from the acrylic nails and things of that nature and invest in something that is wholesome and nutritious and healthy for us. And you know, even if it's not in your immediate community, you know, I want you to think about keeping your family. You know, maybe it's your grandmother, maybe it's your aunt that you can buy extra groceries for. And you never know how much peace of mind that you can give that person, because you don't know who's struggling day to day to eat.
Right.
You know, this is real.
Right.
This is what's happening to our people. People are struggling from day to day to have a meal. And so, you know, it's very important that Sister Tisha, Sister Suzette serve as a model for all of us. And you, and whether you're in the mosque or whether you're in the church, it doesn't matter. If you're just a boy in the hood, whatever, this is something that you can do. And it can be a lucrative business once the people realize the comparisons of what they would be spending with the co-op versus what they would be spending at the store. And, you know, this is what we used to do back in the day. I know people remember the vegetable man and the fruit man who used to, you know, stock up on the corner, and he had the prettiest vegetables and the sweetest fruit. And this is the same thing, and this is what we need to get back to. But we put the money in his pocket. Whether he was spending money with vendors or not, we help our brothers and sisters do for self. It's all a part of what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us. And so this is the path that we need to be on. So I can just further bear witness to everything he taught us. It's absolutely true. We're bearing witness to the times and everything that the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan has warned us about. I just think it would behoove you to actually really, really get involved with this co-op. And right now, Sister Tisha, Sister Suzette, I'm going to give y'all a break. And I'm going to bring in Brother Oni. Brother Oni?
Yes.
As-salamu alaykum, sir.
Alaykum salam.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
All praise is due to Allah. Now, I know Oni was a little reluctant, and, you know, he trying to act shy and all that, and that's fine. But you're my family, and that's okay. I'm Auntie Gidget, so you can just chill. And Oni, you know, I know you live in Dallas, so, you know, you're not tucked away in a corner somewhere. And I know you hear about various situations that young men and women get themselves in, whether it's incarcerated, whether they are murdered, or whether they're hanging in gangs and using drugs and things of that nature. And
I know you graduated from high school last year. And so, you know, believe it or not, even if it appears normal to you, Oni, graduating from high school has become a major accomplishment in the black community because we have so many people that drop out. So I just want to ask you, Oni, what kind of kept you going in the right direction when you were in school?
Well, pretty much, I really just wanted to, you know, finish so I could have a, you know, a successful life and not have to struggle and all that stuff. You know, get a good job, be successful. That's pretty much it.
Oh, okay. Okay, let me ask you something. You have your television on?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you cut it down for me so I can hear you?
All right.
I know you probably said, oh, no, I did not have to turn my television off.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes, thank you so much. Okay, so now that you've graduated high school, what have you decided to do? Because I saw you doing something that I thoroughly admired of you. So I'm just going to ask you to share with us, what is it that, you know, what are you going to do now that you're out of high school?
I'm going to be starting culinary school in about a week so I could become a chef.
Oh, praises due to Allah. And look, I saw that presentation of yours. So have you ever thought about maybe catering? Because if I should ever get married, I want you to cater my wedding.
Yes, ma'am. I do that.
Okay. And so what made you choose culinary arts, Oni?
It was just something I like to do, like around the house, just in the kitchen cooking, finding recipes, and it was just something I like to do, so I thought I'd just do it in school since it was something I was good at.
Okay. So what is your favorite dish?
I really don't have a favorite dish to make. I just like to try a lot of them, see how it comes out. If it comes out bad, just try it again. If it doesn't, keep it, make it for my family or something.
Mhm. Okay. Well, if it comes out bad, you can give it to Tisha and Kenna. They'll eat it.
Yep.
You know. That's what happens.
Yes,
you know, when your children cook something and they mess it up, you got to keep them encouraged. You just swallow it with a smile, and then you know.
Yes, ma'am. His stuff has been pretty good, though.
Oh, I've seen it. And Oni, you know, I just want to ask you, I know you said that you didn't want to struggle and you wanted to make a successful career for yourself, but let me ask you, you know, what made you so determined to go in that direction when there's so much temptation out there to go in a negative direction? You know, because most young men your age are not necessarily, well, not most, but some of them are not necessarily on the path of thinking about career and future and thinking about struggling. And so I want to know, how did you refrain from the negativity? Because maybe what you did can help another teenager, you know, make it and be successful in completing high school. So how did you get through those challenges?
Well, I pretty much just like, well, I always hear my mom and dad always talking about like how people are doing in the community, you know. So I just thought I didn't really want to be like that. I just rather do it the right way, you know, be successful.
Okay. And so did going to the mosque help you with any of the decisions that you made for yourself?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yeah, it helped.
to him? Yeah, because I know your daddy was the captain. Your daddy was the captain at one time. Oh, I know it helped. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so, only the last thing I'm going to ask you, because I know I know I'm getting on your nerves, but I want to ask you, what would you say to a young man or young woman, in your peer group who may be thinking about dropping out of school and maybe just doing something negative? What would you say to them to keep them encouraged to hang in there?
Well, you might as well just hang in there, because if you don't, when you get older, you're gonna pay for it when you get older. You ain't going to be able to find a job. You're going to be struggling, and you ain't going to be able to fix it. It's going to be too late by the time you're older. So you might as well just do it the right way now.
Just get it over with, huh?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Okay, I know Sister Tisha, I'm not supposed to tell secrets of the MGT, but I'm going to tell Oni something. Oni, I heard at one time that you wanted to work in radio, like you wanted to be like a sportscaster maybe.
Yeah, yes, ma'am.
Oh, you still want to do that?
Well, maybe. Maybe I can do it like on the side of my culinary. I could do that too.
Okay. Well, I always, of course, culinary arts is an excellent choice, and I wish you much success in that. But you know me, I'm always trying to push the youth towards the media, because nobody reports our good news. And nobody reports the accuracy in our communities. And, of course, no one really reports the truth of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam. And so I want to encourage our youth to get really behind the scenes in media and become show producers and things of that nature, and have that moral standard of truth, and not just telling lies to get ratings and, fabricating stories to just make it sound good to be entertaining, but to give them actual and factual information. So, Oni, I know you're getting ready to go to school, but before your school starts or whatever, maybe right after, since you're going next week, maybe one day I can get you to come on a Saturday and just host the show for me. How about that?
That'd be good.
Okay. All right. Praises due to Allah. Well, congratulations, Oni, and thank you so much for joining us. Yes,
thank
sir.
You.
Yes, thank you. And, that's what I'm talking about. That's the good news. That's a young man who's going in a positive, positive direction. So since I have his mother here, I'm going to ask his mother. Okay. Sister Tisha, you're the mother of four.
Yes, ma'am.
And so how easy or how difficult was it to keep them on the straight and narrow?
It was pretty easy, because, like you said, their dad was the captain, and it was just some stuff he just wasn't putting up with, and they pretty much knew that. So they, didn't have no choice. They didn't have no choice, but they were always really good, mannerable children. And so I didn't have we instilled in them from when they were small, who they were. And we put that character base in them, and so they were able to, in my opinion, hold themselves up to their peers when their peers were doing wrong, and they seen where if that wasn't right, if you couldn't do it, like their grandma always told them, if you wouldn't do that, if your mom and daddy was standing right there, then you don't do it when they're not there. And so that's something that they've all carried with them. So they knew pretty much that not only did me and their dad didn't play, but their grandparents didn't play, and we expected something. We expected more from them, so they always, you know, strive to do better all the way through high school, all of them. And, of course, they had their little bouts here and there where they tried to sneak and do other things, but they always got caught and they got back on the straight path. But it was we've always encouraged them after school to try for something else to better their future. We didn't say necessarily that you had to go to college, but you have to do something for yourself. And so, like, mm-hmm. my daughter's in college. She'll be coming out next year. We have our 20-year-old next month is graduating from Lincoln Tech in auto collision repair, and now Oni's going to culinary school. The two boys didn't want to go sit in a college course thing, and that's fine, but they wanted to do something that they were both passionate about that they could make a job for themselves with later on in life. And that's what they, when that's they decided fine. That's what they wanted to do, me and Kenna got behind them, and that's what we're backing them to do. So I just thank Allah for guiding them and keeping them, you know, on that path where they didn't bump their heads too hard. It's me now who has to let go. I have to let go just a little bit.
Well, you have one most precious, adorable boy left at home, little Elijah. And what is Elijah heading towards?
Elijah is, I'm sure he's going to do something in the arts, because this child is so talented with making music and just creating things. He creates album covers and things on the computer and songs, and people listen to it and say, "Is that Elijah?" And even me and his dad are sitting here with our mouth hanging open when he produces something that he did upstairs in his room. So I'm thinking this one is going to be the one that's out in front, you know, in front of the camera, like his mama. You know, I don't mind being in front. So I think that's what he's going to do, because he's very talented in that way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They've just
ma'am.
Been a total blessing. I just thank God for them.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Well, you and Brother Kenneth have done an excellent, excellent job. And that's what I really wanted to get at, because I wanted to inspire the youth that, you know, it's not all about going to a four-year university and coming out with a degree and going to work on somebody's job until you drop dead, until your hair is white. But do something that you desire to do and make it feasible for you to live off of. And nothing is more rewarding and more fulfilling than you getting paid for doing something that you love. And so I want to, and I'm not anti-educational, but I want to encourage people to just be real with themselves, you know, because a lot of times our children set out and they go into these institutions of higher learning that really doesn't have their best interests at heart, and then they end up dropping out, end up failing, because really their hearts are not in it. So it is just wonderful to see that Oni and what's the middle boy name?
Yeah.
Y'all got a nickname for him.
Kenna. Oh, Wuda. Wuda,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's good to see them going in the path that they really, really love, and they can make something out of it. Because I remember you talked about Wuda like to work on cars and things of that nature.
Yeah.
So that's a perfect example. Why not? Why not get a career in something that you love? That's what I'm talking about. So I just want another original salute to you and Brother Kenan.
Thank you.
For raising such a beautiful, beautiful family. Yes, ma'am. And Sister Suzette, I'm just going to ask you before we get to the end of the show, is there anything you want to say to youth or parents in the way of encouraging education, encouraging them to stay in school? Because we do have a youth audience as well, so we want to hear from you as well. Since you're not going to sit over there and be quiet. I'll let you make it for the last 10 minutes.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I just want to say that if you find something that you like to do, and this is to the youth, stick with it, because anything that you choose that you like to do, it won't feel like work. So if you can get into a career doing something that you like to do. I've done home daycare for 20 years, and I love it. And I went to school. I got my degree, and I, you know, went to corporate America, and I sat there doing accounting and, like, to pull my hair out. So, I mean, I loved my job when I was doing it, but I was like, something is missing. Now I'm in a career that I love to do, and it doesn't feel like work. Okay, so, you know, whatever you choose that you have a passion for, when you find that thing that you have a passion for, put your everything, you're all behind it, and it will suffice you. Allah will allow it to suffice you, and it will give you what you need in order to sustain yourself and a family.
Yes, ma'am. All praises to Allah. Thank you for those kind words. Okay, before we go tonight, you know, my listening audience, y'all on the phone been really, really quiet, but there's a lot of people on here, so I'm going to give you one more opportunity. If you have a question or comment for Sister Tisha and Sister Suzette, go ahead and press 1 on your dial pad. But I want to make some announcements. Like I said, reporting the good news is what I committed to do. And, of course, I want to congratulate a member of our Nation Building Network family, Brother Vernon. I think he's on Facebook as Vernon Trader Logical Muhammad out of Baltimore, Maryland, Columbia, Maryland. And him and Sister Keisha out of Atlanta, Georgia, got married yesterday. I know they're angry with me. I couldn't make the wedding. I'm so sorry. But Brother Vernon, of course, was the long-running host in this particular spot right here, No Romance Without Finance, for almost 2 years. And I gave him a sabbatical so that he could get married, and we finally got him over that broom yesterday. So congratulations to our Nation family, Keisha and Vernon Muhammad. I pray that Allah will bless that union and make it fruitful, and most of all, make it everlasting. And then somebody sent me something on Facebook I wanted to share, which is also very encouraging for the youth. Chicago's Union Prep Academy. Somebody sent me a link, and it said that all of the seniors have been accepted at four-year colleges and universities. This is the fourth year in a row that the senior class has totally been accepted into four-year college universities. And, you know, these I know that Chicago Urban Prep is an all-boys school, if I'm not mistaken. So in their senior class this year, 167 black males have been accepted into various colleges and universities. And these are things that, of course, you're not going to hear on the news. So when they tell you that, you know, our young boys are going to jail, they're selling drugs, they're hanging on the corner, they're committing murder and mayhem, that is not true. This is a perfect example of things that go underreported and underrecognized. And then also I want to give a shout-out to Chad. Chad Thomas is from Miami. And Chad Thomas has, I think he broke a record maybe. He had 150 scholarships offered to him. And, yes, 150, and Chad, most of them I think were for football, and then, no, most of them were for music, and some of them were for football. But Chad in Miami plays 9 instruments, and so he is a hot item not only for colleges, but the music industry was looking at him, and Chad made the decision that he was going to go to college. So, you know, original salute to Chad for making such a positive decision. And then, of course, last but not least, we want to congratulate Miss Dorothy Owens, who is 92 years old, who finally received her high school diploma. So these are things that, you know, we need to report
And I pray that all of these stories of Sister Tisha and Sister Suzette have inspired you to go out and do something, but make sure it's something that you love and make sure it's something positive. So I'm just going to ask them one more time, Sister Tisha, any last words for us? And please give us the information one more time about how people maybe in the Dallas area, since I see all these, because 972 and 214, are those Dallas area codes?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, there's a lot
That's
of
Dallas.
People on there from those two places. So let me ask you to give them the information how they can participate in the co-op.
Okay, so all they would have to do is go to our page. It's the it's a group page, Mini Farmers Market Buying Club, and you can inbox from there, or you can go to my direct page. It's going to say Tisha and Kenneth. It's T-E-A-S-H-A, and then the letter N, and then Kenneth, because we share a page. And then you can inbox me from there. All you have to do is give your email address, and then what we do is Suzette or I will send you an email with the PayPal link for you to pay. It'll have an invoice on it for you to pay your $25 so that you can participate in that week's co-op run, that week's buying club run. It'll have the address of where to pick it up and the phone number on how to contact us. And so all of that, the contact information is not just blasted on Facebook. You'll get it via inbox if you're wanting to participate. But it's just a $25 participation, no contract, no nothing. Just want you to come on board. That's it.
Okay, all right. Okay, and Sister Suzette, any last words for us? And when can we expect to see that recipe? Because when you get it, when you put it up, I want to put it on my page because, believe it or not, because some people think I'm such a diva, but I cook, I clean, I wash, I do all of that. Trust me. So I might want to cook it one Sunday when I have time. So when can we get that recipe?
Yes, ma'am. I'm working on it right now, so we should probably have it by Friday, up and running.
Okay.
All
well,
right.
You going to put it on our page? You going to put it on our page?
Yeah.
On the group page? Okay, yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you once again. Huh?
I said, and I'll share it to yours, so, you know, you'll definitely get it.
Okay, yes,
oh,
ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And I'll take a picture of it when I cook it. Where it is born. Okay.
Right.
But thank you, Sister Tisha and Sister Suzette, for joining us. And thank you once again for your hard work in the community. Thank you, listening audience, for joining us tonight. Even though some of y'all are quiet, those of y'all in the chat room, y'all are insane. They us here talking about we make a strawberry spaghetti. I don't even know what that is. Yes. And then eggplant what? Oh, eggplant
parmesan. Okay.
And then somebody said to saute bell pepper, garlic, and sweet onion, steamed butter squash with a dash of butter. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. And then they have, carrot casserole. Okay. No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, they're coming up with some good recipes. They're coming up with some good recipes in there, you know, but carrots and rice, can't do that one, but okay. But thank you all. Let me give you the lineup before we get out of here. Okay, join us tomorrow, 8 o'clock, for Conscious Black Nation with Brother Kareem. I forgot what his topic is. He's going to kill me, but we will definitely be back at 8 o'clock on Monday night, hosted by Brother Kareem out of St. Louis. And then on Tuesday at 7 p.m., join us for Disaster Preparedness with Brother Rudolph T. Muhammad out of Muhammad Mosque No. 7 and Sister Lachelle Muhammad out of Muhammad Mosque No. 1 in Detroit as they talk to us about disaster preparedness. And I think the subject is going to be sickle cell, which is definitely a disease that affects the black community. And then on Wednesday, join us for set at 7 p.m. for DJ Black Caesar and Friends. That's our hip-hop comedy show. And on Thursday, the queen is going to give up her hosting seat. Yes, I am. And I'm going to let Brother Kareem sit in my hosting seat, and we're going to welcome Student Minister Stanley. I'm going to try to get a couple other student ministers, especially Student Minister Willie Muhammad and Brother Student Minister Tony Muhammad out of Miami, and they're going to go one-on-one with the FOI, and this is called FOI to FOI, what the FOI needs to know about courtship and marriage. Now, sisters, you know we're going to cheat. The show is for the brothers.
You know.
For the brothers to call in. But you know we're going to listen, right? But I don't want the brothers to feel uncomfortable, so I'm not going to host. I'm just going to sit back in the wings and be quiet. And, of course, that's at 8 o'clock on Thursday with Student Minister Stanley, Tony, and Willie. And then on Friday, Student Minister James Muhammad out of Tampa, Florida. If you don't have a home mosque, if you don't live in a town like I do where there's no study group or no mosque, then please join us on Friday for study group. Of course, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan gave us a 58-week series. We are revisiting that. So please join us so that we can expound further on what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan provided for us in that 58-week lecture series. And that's Friday at 8. And then Saturday, Young, Gifted, and Black. I'll be back with some brand new artists. They got a whole bunch of brand new music. And we'll get to hear their music and let them introduce themselves. And, of course, next Sunday, I'll be right back here with the Battle on the West Coast. So, you know, everybody who knows me knows I'm from Compton, and I got to kind of corral my brothers in a fun way, the FOI and of Muhammad Mosque number 27 and 26 are going into battle to see who's going to sell the most final calls. And so they're on this final call push, and it's going to be fun. So we'll get to talk to Brother Ali and Brother Derek and Student Minister Tony Muhammad out of Mosque 27 about that. So join us next Sunday right here at 6:30 for that. Sister Tisha, Sister Suzette, thank you all once again. Keep up the good work. May Allah continue to bless you. Oni, I look forward to you catering my wedding one day. And if I don't get married, then, you know, I just when I come to Dallas, because I've supposed to have been coming for like a year now and haven't made it, but when I get there, excuse me, Oni, cook me something to eat.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
Okay. All right. I'm losing my voice now. But thank you all, and may Allah continue to bless us as we leave you in our greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, ma'am.
Alaykum salam.